you will feel a huge difference. You'll have that drive again. All you got to do is walk in one of the two locations, either South County or Chesterfield. Get your blood work done. It is covered by insurance. This is not a rich man's game. This is for the working man. I am telling you, LowTUSA.com. It's a game changer, and I'll tell you this, it's a relationship changer too.
Well, the people have spoken, and Bertarelli Cutlery has listened. Bertarelli Cutlery, 314-664-4005. The people have spoken, and Bertarelli Cutlery has listened. Bertarelli Cutlery, 314-664-4005. The people have spoken, and Bertarelli Cutlery has listened. Bertarelli Cutlery, 314-664-4005.
Denise here from Appliance Discounters. Let's talk GE Appliances. First of all, what do you prefer? Professional and European? Restaurant-inspired? Modern with clean lines? Now you can choose any inspiration with the GE product line, as well as a variety of finishes like stainless steel, black stainless, slate, and black slate, and they're all on display at any of the Appliance Discounters locations. As always, get them for the lowest price and with rebates up to $1,500 on select packages. Shop the locally owned Appliance Discounters with 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
The PGA Championships are here in St. Louis, August 10th through the 12th. 590 The Fan and Michelob Ultra have teamed up for the official PGA Watch Party. All day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 10th through the 12th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Come out and enjoy the tournament on a 20-foot TV screen while enjoying all of your favorite Budweiser and Michelob Ultra products. Not to mention all the great food that will be available. Plus, on Friday, August 10th, all of your favorite 590 The Fan shows will be broadcasting live. Don't miss it.
Right, and we could have found a way to cover this mistake up. Somebody here, somebody here is a slacker and was talking and was supposed to have what's called bumper music. Bumper music is the music you use to bump from something to something else, like from the commercials to right now. We play bumper music, but somebody, tell them who you are.
Hello, it's me, Limey.
Didn't have it ready because he was talking about meeting a girl. Here. This is what women do. They ruin your life, and they ruin your career and your job because you get that stuff in your head, and you can't concentrate.
I'll do some bumper music for you.
Okay, what was the last commercial that just ran?
It was Anheuser-Busch. It's our promo party.
Okay, do you know how it ended? Can you play the very end of it? Is that possible?
No.
Okay, I'll do an ending, and then Dan will provide bumper music.
Okay.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis. Okay, Dan Buffa's with us. It's Tuesday. Every Tuesday he's with us to talk about movies and TV shows and that kind of thing. If you'll allow me to tell you a little of what I know about Amenies, then we're gonna do just that. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. We'll find something for you to avoid or something to watch. Amenies is a store. All right. There are I think four in existence in the United States. I think one's in Kansas City. I'm not sure where the other two are, Oklahoma, whatever. But there's only one around here. And there's not another store anything like Amenies. I mean, not even close. There are some stores that have some of the things Amenies has in them. But you're not going to get this sort of eclectic mix of things, and certainly not the quality of this merchandise that you find at Amenies. And let's just talk about the thing that put them on the map, patio furniture. People found in short order and in not much time, it didn't take much time for the word to spread, that there's now a place in St. Louis where you can go and buy the kind of patio furniture that you used to have to seek out either in other cities or order and have it shipped, because nobody carried patio furniture that had the quality at this level, because it's easier to sell mediocre or junk patio furniture. It is. The volume is there. More customers. More people want to buy things that cost less. And usually things that cost less don't last as long. And that's absolutely true of patio furniture. Patio furniture that rusts. Patio furniture that's supposed to be wicker, but it wasn't really wicker. It was plastic made to look like wicker. Or the wicker started unraveling. Or that fire pit thing that looked pretty neat when it was lit up on display at the store, but then you find out the tubing was cheap and now the gas doesn't go to the right of the gas leak. you know what I'm talking about. It's no different than just take a barbecue grill. There are barbecue grills that look pretty good. They're crap. Then there are barbecue grills that are fantastic, and you have them in your family for years and years and years. We have a barbecue grill like that. It's lasted us quite a while, partly because we hardly ever use it, but even if we did, it's a good grill. So what if you could find a place that had all of the patio furniture that was the best of the best? That place is Amini's. So when you're ready for stuff you don't have to replace every two or three seasons, this is your store. And while you're there, go upstairs. Walk in. To your right, you'll see the staircase. Go up that staircase. Go up there first. I want you to see the Jaffe lighting. I want you to see the accent pieces, the in-home furniture, and then make your way down the staircase and knock yourself out. Go see the area rugs. Take, give yourself some time because there's a lot to see here. You know that Wonders of Wildlife I went to in Springfield? This is kind of like the Wonders of Home Merchandise. You just walk around going, ooh, ah. And the kids won't mind if you're there a while because you're going to send them over as you walk in, way to the right and back. There are all the pinball machines and arcade games. What kid doesn't go nuts at playing these and not having to have any quarters? They're on free play. Not only do they not mind it, they want you to come in. Whether you buy today or you buy next week or next year, you need to find this store. If you've never been to Amini's, just do that. Go in, walk around, and of course, tell them you're AM and the PM. Check their website regularly because there's a lot of money to be saved that way. A-M-I-N-I-S, Amini's.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go.
Let's all go to the lobby.
I'll take M&Ms and throat lozenges. And some nasal spray and a Coke.
It'll be $47.
Yes, it would. At the movie theater. It absolutely would. Dan Buffa is with us. He's with us every Tuesday, and he's here to talk about movies and television shows, something I think most people are interested in, some more than others. My wife watches a lot of television. She loves TV. I watch maybe a fourth or fifth as much as she does. But whatever your level, we have the guy who can steer you in the right direction, either to or away from particular movies or TV shows. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Dan Buffa.
How are you doing?
Good. I may have asked you this before. What's that tattoo on your arm?
It is a tattoo from my son. When he was about 6 weeks old, he had a very, very bad heart condition.
Yeah.
It almost killed him. It's called Wolf Parkinson White.
Yeah.
It basically drove up his heart rate to about 290. They had to take him to the hospital. They had to electric shock his heart.
How old was he?
He was, about 6 weeks.
Yeah. Isn't that a horrible thing to go
through? It's horrible. I mean, his condition kind of declined over the 2 weeks before we took him to the hospital, and I was at work, and I just got a text from my wife said, we're in an ambulance, and we're going to the hospital now. So I basically left a work function, I don't even remember driving to the hospital, because I'm just driving as fast as I can. My buddy drove me to my car. I drove to the hospital. It was probably those 10 days before they could really stabilize his heart rate, because they had to get the medication they have to use, because they can't operate, because he's so young. They can't operate on a baby. They can't go in there and just fix it. So he was on propranolol, but they had to figure out what dosage he needed, because sometimes it would drive it up too much, but they need to stabilize it. But that 7 to 9 days was tough. So I got my first tattoo. I told him, I want son to remember my kid. When he was 6 weeks old, he had a heart condition. So I want his initial V, and I want a heart. And he had this idea for a heart-shaped house that he basically came up with himself. This guy, Jonathan Fournier, who has since moved to L.A., did this amazing tattoo in March. And he just took it all from what I said. It was basically, give me something with a heart and a V, and he made it a heart-shaped house.
What's your son's name? What's the V for?
Vincent. That's his name. Vinny.
Vinny Buffa.
Vinny Buffa.
Then, how old is he now?
He is going on 7, and he is a healthy little chunk of human. So,
One day we could do a whole show trying to tell young parents what they're in for.
Oh, yeah.
Because chances are, at some point, You're heading for the emergency room.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully, it's not anything really horrible, but whatever it is at the time seems horrible to you, no matter what it is.
It's worse, because, I mean, we had no idea what to do. I mean, my parents are both in the hospital industry.
Yeah.
My dad's an x-ray tech. He's now retired. My mom was a nurse. And eventually, he went to the same hospital my mom was a nurse at. And so, wow. On the same floor that she worked on, I'm never going to forget this moment when he had been in the hospital for 3 days, and she was holding him because he had stabilized, and his heart rate spiked, and about six people came running into the room, and my mom, who had been a nurse for probably 30 years, was about as helpless. And she takes right. care of sick babies, but this was her grandson, and
right.
she was just frozen.
Yeah.
And they grabbed him out of her arms, and they had to do the work. I mean, because in the hospital, when you think you're out of the woods, you're right back in it in the next instant. I mean, until you leave, you're not safe. Even when you do leave, you can come right back. After he overcame the heart thing, he had to go back for a stomach condition. They had to actually operate on him for a stomach condition. He had a...
Was it pyloric stenosis?
Stenosis.
Is that it? Did I get
that
it?
That was it. You got it.
Wow.
Hey.
Yeah.
What the heck's that?
My son had it. It's common in boys.
It is.
Boys.
Essentially, what you digest your food through should be a size of a dime.
Right.
And in this condition, it's the size of a pencil tip.
Oh.
Yeah. So they cannot... It just... Everything gets projectile vomiting.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's called projectile vomiting. You try to feed them and...
They cannot keep anything down. So what they do is that microscopic, they go in there and they just stretch out the hole or they have to cut.
Right.
If my son... They didn't tell us, so we're just in the waiting room. They go, okay, microscopic, go ahead. But they ended up having to cut him, and then my dad is there, and he's like, wait a minute, you cut open my grandson without coming out and telling us? I was like, yeah. The look on my dad's face and that poor little nurse had to tell my dad, who was a hospital veteran of like 35 years, that was just, that's never going to forget that.
It would be
that.
Very easy to do a show that made everybody cry. It really
oh,
would.
Oh, man,
and,
yeah.
And sometimes I'm tempted to... Not. That's not my goal, but that's what would happen. But I think every once in a while, it's fine to be funny and tell stories. But every once in a while, I actually enjoy sharing with people the bad things that happen, because that way they know it's not just them.
Well,
because
yeah.
anytime you hear that somebody else went through what you went through,
oh,
you
yeah.
go, oh, phew, it's not just me. And you learn from it.
And I also think people. That the bad moments in your life really do. I know this is but kind of like a Hallmark card thing, but the bad moments in your life really do shape you who you are. I mean, everybody knows how to do stuff when everything's going well. But when things are going bad, like you're in the hospital with your kid, and I got to try to tell my grandparents the prognosis as they're on the way to the hospital. Because at that point, when he first went there, we had no idea. I mean, we were in a room about this size, maybe half this size, and they had my son on a table, and, you know, residents come in, attendings come in. Everybody wants to look at, oh, man, the six-week-old baby who's got a heart condition. And we're just seated off to the side over here to the side of the room, and we're just trying to see what they're doing to our son. We don't know if he's going to make it out of that room or not.
Yeah.
It's a heart condition. I mean, you know, if something goes wrong... They know how to fix it, but you know they can't. They're not going to cut open a baby unless they know they have to. So we were petrified.
Well, this is certainly not what this segment's supposed to be.
No, it's not.
But I have to. You said something a while ago where it was not, all of a sudden they tell you what's wrong and what has to be done, and you go, "What?" It's like, where'd this come from?
Yeah,
we took my son, my older son, in for an allergy check. He's 5 years old, and we're going to an allergist. And I will never forget, he felt his neck, pressure, pulse, whatever, and he felt his wrists, and then he reached down and he grabbed his little ankles and held them. And he had this look on his face. He did it again. And that's it. He looked at us and he took a piece of paper, then he wrote down, he says, I want you to take him, and I think it was DePaul at the time, and see this doctor. He says, I'll call ahead. And I thought, what? What are we talking about? I said, what's wrong? And he said, I am 99% sure that your son has a coarctation of the aorta.
Oh.
Now I don't know what that means. I just said, what does that mean?
He said, I heard aorta, and I'd be like,
well,
oh.
Aorta is the big, fat yeah. main artery. He said, it means there's a narrowing of the aorta. And I said, and what are we going to, is he on medicine or shots? And he goes, oh, no, no, he has to have heart surgery. I said, or what? He says, or he'll die.
This is an allergist?
When you the allergist was smart enough to know this is good. Not an allergy
issue. He was 5 years old.
Get him to a pediatric. Yeah.
Wow.
So he said, you're going to have to go. And what they did, think of the aorta as a piece of garden hose. It's a big artery. There's a narrowing. There's part of it that's almost shut. They snip that out and then fuse together. It's like if you cut a hose and then glued the pieces together.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's unbelievable what they can do.
Yeah.
Dr. Thomas Spray. I'll never forget the guy's name who did it. What a brilliant pediatric cardiologist.
That's the thing about hearts. I mean, doctors, they know how to fix them, but, man, you have to get to them quick because it can go south so fast.
Here's the thing. I said, when do we have to have surgery? He said, you have to do it within the next 6 months to a year. He said, it's not going to kill him now, but he'll never see 12 years old if you don't get this done.
Oh, man.
So we scheduled it for, I don't know, a few months later because he said it's not urgent, critical, but it will be. And we had it done. And we could do hours on this and how lucky we were. And what I mean by that is, you know, we get to Children's Hospital and I'm thinking, why me? Why us? What did we do to deserve this? Until you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some other kids.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch them die.
And there's a lot of outcomes that aren't as good as ours. Like, you know, if it had been, if our doctor didn't say take him to the hospital now, I mean, he was going pale,
right.
My son. I mean, there was a picture that my wife sent me, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, it just got bad in like 24 hours.
My son played at Children's Hospital. There was a playroom, toys.
Oh, yeah.
He played every morning with this little girl. They kind of became buddies. And we go in one day and she's not there. Now you have to explain to a 6-year-old why his playmate is dead. I'm telling you, man.
There's no easy way.
No, there's not. Now that we've made everybody sad, let's talk about what you think we should see.
Well,
when
people were sad. When I watched this movie, when I left the screening, people were crying.
Because of the money they lost?
No. It was a free screening, thankfully. It was a press screening, but when they left the Whitney Houston documentary, which came out, I mean, we had a lot of tears. We had local musicians that were there.
Really?
We had Kevin Johnson from the Post-Dispatch, good guy, a music critic. We had the regular movie critics. I mean, we had no idea. Showtime just had a documentary about Whitney Houston about a few months ago, and it was good.
You're a pretty tough-looking guy. You're buffed.
Yeah.
You're ripped. You got a tattoo. Did you cry?
I got close, but there were some legitimate tears when that thing ended. People had to put themselves back together.
Yeah.
Because they want to know, outside the publicist wants to know what you think, and you're like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just don't have words, but that's because it's one of the most honest documentaries. When you talk about Won't You Be My Neighbor,
right.
It was great.
Right.
This one, it's kind of like that, but unlike Fred Rogers, Whitney Houston was at the top of the game when it comes to the music world, and then she just sunk so fast. But this Kevin MacDonald, who's done feature movies, he did The Last King of Scotland with Forest Whitaker. He walked into Whitney Houston's life and just kind of walked in as a stranger. And he ended up making one of the most honest documentaries you can find. I mean, you're going to see this at the end of the year when it comes to Oscars. Because when I left, I thought I knew a lot about Whitney Houston. I mean, I thought, you know how she died. You know, she had the most singles for a female artist. I Will Always Love You is still selling on iTunes. It's a popular song.
Well, and her life and her situation was the reason for that well-known expression, Whitney, we have a problem.
Yeah. It really is.
That used out in NASA.
Oh, my
Dan,
goodness.
You were going to do it. If I am done,
you were going to
do it.
There it is.
I didn't even think about that. But
if,
man,
Frank misses it, you're going to be on it.
I missed
it. One of us will get it.
But it documents her life from childhood to stardom to death, and they don't miss one spot. It's just they hit all the ugly spots in between her life.
And if what I saw is correct, one of the things that legitimizes it and gives it credibility is in it, some of these stories come from her own relatives.
Oh, yeah. Her brothers, her sister-in-law.
It's not a case where after it comes out, the family members go, that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, and really, the family gave Kevin MacDonald all the access he wanted. I mean, they could have easily said, you know what, you know, Showtime just did something, but they let him go because I think you have a serious filmmaker that wants to make a movie about your family member's life and do it right. And I think as far as being accurate and brutally honest, this is as good of a documentary. But that's what you need from documentaries. You want them to be honest. Tell me the story. Don't give me just one side. Give me all the sides. I mean, her brothers talk. Bobby Brown talks.
Bobby Brown, who to me took a lot of heat,
yeah,
for being the reason she was screwed
up. She was
up.
Not the reason, because it started way before. I mean, there's a line in there where her brother talks about when they used to do drugs and alcohol, and it's like Bobby was kind of a weak sport. I mean, Bobby, he said that we would lap Bobby when it comes to alcohol and drugs. I mean, yeah, they would just do laps around him. And it took place a long time before him, but he probably accelerated a little bit because of the lifestyle they lived.
What's it called, the movie?
Whitney. Just plain old Whitney.
Where is it?
It is actually in big theaters. I thought it was going to open in a small plaza.
Yeah, because last week, you thought it'd just be, yeah.
I know. Like now it's at Ronnie's. It is at any big theater in St. Louis,
good,
it's at. And that's great. And I think you should go watch it. I mean, I think if you know about Whitney Houston, this is going to shed a bigger light. Kevin Costner even has a great little thing where he talks about working with her on The Bodyguard, and because, you know, that was a very successful movie, and that started her little film career.
But 9 ARDs, 4 being the best.
Oh, man. This is just, it's such an emotional movie. I mean, I think as far as what they wanted to do, 3.5.
All right, that's pretty good. Here we go.
All right, Dan.
And speaking of Costner, we are, meaning my wife, my daughter-in-law, my son. I don't know about the other son and daughter. I think they're into it, too. This Yellowstone, this is a terrific series.
I haven't
series.
Gotten into it yet because I don't have Spike and I don't have the Paramount Network, but
okay.
I get a feeling I'm going to have to get
good.
This Paramount Network.
It's really good. All right, what else you got?
Kevin, okay, so let's move it. You're speaking to TV. Let's move to TV. On Sunday, HBO's latest show, Sharp Objects, premiered. It's got Amy Adams. It's got a lot of heavy hitters on this show. You have, it's adapted from a book by Gillian Flynn, who did Gone Girl. It's directed by Jean Vallée, who did Dallas Buyers Club and Wild. And it's produced by Jason Blum, who produced Get Out. So you have all these heavy hitters. Amy Adams plays a St. Louis journalist, and you do get some shots of St. Louis in the first episode. She has to go back to her hometown to cover a story about a dead girl and also a missing girl.
Now, give me the name of this again. Shark?
It is Sharp Objects.
Okay, Sharp
Objects. It is adapted from a very popular novel.
Okay.
And, again, director, I mean, writer, they assembled the heavy hitters. Jean Vallée, who did Dallas Buyers Club with Matthew McConaughey, also did Big Little Lies last year.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry. You said she's a writer.
She's a St. Louis journalist who has to go back to cover a story in her hometown. Her hometown is Wingat, Missouri. And there's a murder and there's a missing girl.
Is there such a place?
I don't think so. I think it's made up. But she goes back to her hometown. And, of course, when she goes back there, you find out she has so much baggage. Her mother's not talking to her, played by Patricia Clarkson, plays her mother. And you find out about the past of Amy Adams' character. She used to hurt herself. Her daughter, her sister was died mysteriously when they were kids. And also, she's a full-fledged alcoholic. I mean, she drinks throughout the whole first episode. So she doesn't want to go back to her hometown, but her editor wants her to go there because she's from there, and there's a murder, and that would just be good for her to cover that story. But when she goes back there, all the old wounds start to show. Again, her mother, this is what she does when she goes to her mother's house. You go to your mother's house, you know, she lets you in, she makes you dinner. Patricia Clarkson tells Amy Adams, we're not really ready for visitors. And she tells her daughter to go away. That's how bad things have gotten between her mother. And that relationship is the basis of the show, because you know bad stuff happened when she was a kid and when she grew up and why she left her town, but she has to go back there to cover the story. So it's a very dark series. And I think it's kind of got a meandering first hour, but there's enough intrigue there. It's an 8-part miniseries. It's got 7 hours left. It's on HBO on Sundays before the very good show Succession.
ARDs for Sharp Objects.
Oh, my gosh. The first hour, I have to say, as much as I like the hitters and the cast and the writers, I'm going to go 2.5. Because if I was to give this 1 hour, I'm not sure I'd really just be eager to get back for hour number 2.
All right, 2.5, here they come.
All right, Dan.
Next.
So moving on to news, we got some news regarding the new Indiana Jones sequel, which this is about two sequels too many. But the latest sequel, an announcement from Disney, has been delayed till 2021. And when this movie comes out, Harrison Ford is going to
be 92 years old.
He's going to be just 4 days shy of being 79 years old.
Wow.
You know what that means? Cue the stunt doubles. There's going to be like five. They have to give him like five or six stunt doubles. I don't know why they're still making these movies. The Crystal Skull was bad, but they just keep going back. I know Spielberg wants to do this. I mean, the guy is a great director, but
I am one of 10 people in the United States who has still never seen one Indiana Jones movie. I've not seen one. I know there's a big rock. And he's running from it, and those snakes, and he wears a hat.
The first few films are great. I mean, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of the Doom, it was great. There was one with The Last Crusade, where Sean Connery played his dad. That was great. That was the last great movie, and that was back in the 80s. And they're still making them. I mean, the last one had Shia LaBeouf. It had him and Harrison Ford, father and son, and it was just kind of a... It was terrible. It was bad.
Everything about it was terrible.
It probably gets embarrassed.
The storyline.
I mean, Harrison Ford came back and did Blade Runner 2049, but that was a great script and a great cast and a great director. I don't know why he has some kind of promise to Steven Spielberg to keep doing these movies. He's going to be almost 80 when this movie comes out.
Does Connery do anything now?
No, he is. There's two actors that have said they are going to retire, and they've kept their word. Gene Hackman and Sean Connery.
Yeah, boy, Hackman.
He was so good.
No better bad guy.
His last film was Welcome to Mooseport with Ray Romano.
Oh, yeah.
Doing that kind of crap might make you want to quit the business.
Boy, that Western, wasn't it the...
Unforgiven.
Oh!
Or even The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone. That was a good flick.
He said Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But Unforgiven. What did he play? Little Bill?
Yeah,
going up against William Money.
That's a great move.
And he walks in and he goes, "Who's the owner of this place?" And he just
was that Eastwood's voice.
Yeah, pretty good. It's a great movie. But yeah, he retired and he kept his word. That was over 10 years ago. That was 13 years ago.
But when Hackman gets mad in a movie and rips into somebody like Crimson Tide,
yeah,
and then so. He's you hate him. I mean, it's like you sit there and go, if I ever meet you in person, I'll punch you in the face.
Where he punches Denzel Washington's character in that movie, and Denzel just goes, "That all you got?" Yeah. Even though he's a little scared. But the good news, the Spawn reboot, very, very famous comic book, got a very bad movie version done.
Okay, sorry. 10 years ago. Who's the Spawn?
Spawn is what would you call?
Okay,
kind of creature.
Comic book guy. Go into it.
Thank you. Spawn was created by Todd McFarlane. He is a pretty heavy hitter when it comes to drawing comics. He did several Spider-Man, a couple of DC things back in the day. This is his own creation, and basically, it's a guy who makes a deal with the devil to see his wife again after he dies. All right. Now, this guy is not a very nice person, so the devil lets him see his wife and then uses him to be a sergeant in his hell army for the oncoming war between heaven
and
hell.
Kind of an avenging demon.
He is incredible. And apparently Jamie Foxx is going to be Spawn.
Yes.
I'm all about this.
Because they made a movie version of this 10 years ago.
Oh.
Or maybe 15.
Well, okay, hang on a sec. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That was back in 97, 98.
Oh,
I mean,
so
it
bad.
Was... For its time, it was actually pretty good. I mean, it was okay. But if you watch it nowadays, it's terrible.
Michael J. White played Spawn. Martin Sheen played the bad guy.
What does Spawn do? Like,
he basically...
Does he fly?
He flies. He's basically... He cannot be killed. He's eventually undead. But he did this to see his wife one more time. But he can't go back. I mean, he's basically Spawn now until...
Yep.
I mean... The hell won't let him go back.
He has a giant red cape that he can control.
No, horrible name.
Chains.
It is.
Spawn.
It is.
That's
well,
a
yeah,
bad name. You know, Spider-Man.
They made a movie out of it, but the greatest thing was the HBO animated series with Keith David, who Keith David has one of the best voices of all time voice the character. That was a great job, but Todd McFarlane is directing this movie. He's taking the reins, and Jeremy Renner has been added to the cast today. So you got Jamie Foxx, you got Jeremy Renner.
Does the word spawn mean something? I'm like, yeah. Fish spawn, I know that. Yeah. But
doesn't mean anything good.
It's not a good name for
okay,
it.
Okay, like, you know, back in the day, people would say, like, oh, he's the spawn of Satan or something that. That's what it is. He is the spawn of hell.
He is a soldier of hell who is now serving.
It's
that
almost
mission.
Like sperm, like the word sperm. I mean,
it's nothing
like
sperm.
Yes, no. It is. They should create a character called the sperm.
This is like the 15th story idea. I need to write these down. One of these times we're going to write a script.
These are great ideas.
Good news for Star Wars fans: Billy Dee Williams is coming back as Lando in the new Star Wars film, so that's good news. You know, you got Billy Dee Williams, man. Lando Calrissian, man. It's one of the best characters in the original films. He's going to come back. I don't know when they're making that
what
movie.
What else has he ever done recently?
Nothing.
You know when that phone rang, he had to jump out of his seat. I'm working again.
He was sleeping, but he's like, what? You don't want me? Because they basically had Donald Glover play him in Solo.
Mm-hmm.
So he's thinking they've already rebooted it. They don't want him, so... Yeah, Billy Dee Williams coming out. Coming up soon, I'm excited about Mission Impossible Fallout with Tom Cruise.
I got to tell you something. This, I think I want to see. I don't really like Tom Cruise that much, but I got to give him this. This guy puts a lot when he does a movie.
We're talking about stunt doubles with Harrison Ford. He does all of his own stunts. In this movie, he's jumping off a building. He's flying a helicopter. He's getting ran over on a motorcycle. He is going up against Henry Cavill, a.k.a. Superman. And the fun twist of this movie is this is the movie where Paramount would not let Henry Cavill shave his mustache off for the Justice League reshoots. And that's why whenever you watch Justice League and you see a very funny thing with Henry Cavill's mouth, that's because they had to digitally remove the mustache.
Wow.
So this is the reason they said, hey, we have Mission Impossible. You're doing DC movies. We're not letting him shave his mustache.
I think the Scientology thing. I'm not kidding. I think that caused me to look at Tom Cruise
and go,
what
are you,
nuts?
Yeah.
But take that away.
For me, I mean, he's just a great entertainer.
He actually is.
I mean, he's not slowing down. He makes these Mission Impossible films very... blunt force entertainment. He does all of his own stunts, and they always have good stories, and you get guys like Henry Cavill to come in there and play the bad guy. Alec Baldwin's back, Angela Bassett. It's
going
to be great.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom Cruise hasn't had a lot of bombs. I mean, he's still working. Decades later.
When you think about, you go throughout his IMDb, you're not going to find one movie that grossed less than $80 million. I mean, he's never had a bomb. Will Smith was the same way until he made 7 pounds, and that was just a disaster. And ever since then, he's just gone downhill. But Tom Cruise, no matter what publicity's around him, just keeps making hits. So that's coming out in a couple weeks. I also got Equalizer 2 with Denzel Washington coming out this month. That's going to be great. Next week, I'll be reviewing Dwayne Johnson's new film, Skyscrapers. Basically, Die Hard with The Rock. I think it's going to be fun. You just got to turn your brain off.
One of these days, I will see a movie.
We have to do some movie watching, Frank. You got to watch some Marvel. You got to watch Indiana Jones, The Rock. We're going to binge watch some
shows. My problem is now I'm at a point where I don't think there's any way to go back and get caught up. Like the...
Maybe not with Marvel, but with Indiana Jones, we can get you caught up there, and then maybe The Rock. I'll pick a couple movies out for The Rock to watch.
Would my grandson like Indiana Jones stuff?
Can he watch it?
Oh, yeah. He'd love that.
It's adventure. You know, it's PG-13, maybe just for the action, but there's no language. There's no nudity. It's just a little bit more violence.
They are a little racist towards Asian people, but, I mean, I think you'd be all right.
Political-wise, it might be hard.
It's just like, you know, there's lots of stereotypical Chinese people in there.
And racist against Jewish people, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Remember that guy
Spielberg
in Goldfinger, that odd job, that threw the hat? He'd throw that hat and decapitate people.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, that was good. We need more of that. Unfortunately, they're still trying to make sequels out of that. But that's all I got, guys. Until next week, Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson coming out this week. I'll review that next week. I also have a new documentary coming out next week, so I'll have a couple more reviews next week. But until then, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right. Dan Buffa. You've had enough of. Also, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. All we ask that you do is, if you've been in a house for a while, or maybe you're not the first owner of the house, and it's gotten to that point where, well, the windows, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. What they're supposed to do is pretty simple. Keep the hot air out, especially now. When is this streak going to end? This miserable, oppressive...
I don't know.
What is it? Going to get up to like 102 this weekend? Well,
The last temperature I checked said it got to 100 just now.
You know what? We told our hot weather joke too soon. Mm-hmm. We jumped the gun. Because we thought it was as hot as it was going to be. Maybe just retell it. Maybe we could do that. Window World sponsors Dan Buffa every Tuesday. I'll be back again next year. You want to sit in with us to the news top of the hour? You're welcome to do that. Do you have any other tattoos except the one on your arm? I'm serious. Do you have others?
No, I don't have any tattoos. Not, this is one. I'm working on number two, but I got to find my tattoo artist has left the city.
Tattoos are addictive. I'll warn you.
They do, and they're also addictive. Expensive. You want them done right. So I have to find a new tattoo artist. I can't fly out to L.A. to get it done. But
you ever see the... And you can go to YouTube, I think, and watch the documentaries on it. These guys and prisoners, especially, who tattoo the whites of their eyes.
Oh,
and they do it in prison with their own crude tattoo stuff.
For me, I'll never get a tattoo. People that have the elbow, I have heard that is just the most painful place to get a tattoo. There's just nothing. They're just. I mean, they're.
Oh no, that's good. True. But have you never? All right, this is. I'm not asking a stupid question here. But have you never pinched your weenus?
Your what?
It's called a weenus.
Weenus?
That little bit of dead skin underneath your elbow?
I didn't know that.
It's called a weenus. Never. All right, now, just to test a theory, right, what I'm going to do is have Frank pinch the little bit of skin under my elbow as hard as he can.
Oh, yeah,
no, seriously, I want you to try and pinch it.
Yeah, you can't
just
feel it.
Just pinch it as, like, try and hurt me.
Yeah, the weenus.
Yeah, right? See, there's no nerve in that at
there's
all.
Nothing.
No, you're right. I'm pinching
like,
my own.
No, seriously. Like, if you want to
hold your arm straight
to...
out and on your elbow, that little skin, it has zero feeling.
Yeah.
Tim, you're pretty big.
Weird.
Try and hurt my weenus. Come to him saying this.
Where's the bell?
Sure, just to make sure that nobody make sure nobody misheard that. He didn't say try and hurt my wiener. He said try and hurt my weenus.
It's a flabby piece of skin underneath the elbow.
There are no nerves.
So it's not going to hurt.
How do you spell weenus? It's actually the name of it?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I know it as. I think it's W-E-I-N-E-S-S.
See, this is one of those parts of the body that has a name. Like that thing between your nostrils.
Yeah.
What is that called?
Septum.
No.
Yeah, deviated septum.
No. The septum is up in there. Just the piece of skin.
The piece of skin that divides your nostrils.
Yes, there's a name for that. There's a name. We know what the taint is.
We know what the taint is.
That's not actually the real name.
Called the BC.
Can you please tell us why it's called the taint? Please.
I'm not explaining that to anybody. Look it up. Figure it out. There's also that, I can never remember this, that thing that hangs down in your throat.
Uvula.
Uvula.
You sure?
Yeah.
Then what's the epiglottis?
I have no idea.
See, I get uvula and epiglottis.
Uvula sounds female.
We need to do some business.
We're going to do some business, but Tim's looking up epiglottis.
It's the flap in the throat that keeps food from entering the windpipe and the lungs. So it's a flap in the throat.
Okay.
Oh, so that's the one that's further down here, I think.
Okay, so the uvula is higher.
Is the little dangly thing
that's
that
the
I think...
thing you see like a cave stalactite.
I've had mine swell up with allergic reactions before and had to go to
urgent
care.
Choke to death.
Doesn't that help the tongue, like make us make sounds with our mouths?
I don't know, but did you know, and I remember this from biology, did you know that like your tongue is divided in sections, like one half is salt?
Yeah, the other one's sweet and one's sour.
And if you were to put salt on the sugar side, you wouldn't taste the salt? I'm not kidding. It's got sections of taste in it.
What is it, the front is sour, and then the front has something separate.
Wow, we're practically doctors. This is the learning show.
We started the hour talking about heart conditions. Now we're breaking down the parts of the nose.
I forgot to
epiglottis
turn my phone off here. Sorry, I forgot to put my
and
phone
Tim
on.
Pinched my weenus.
Right.
I'll do it.
We'll break till business.
Yes,
minute.
Love that.
All right. I did not go to First Community Credit Union today. I take that back. I did. I was there yesterday and today. I forgot I was in there today. I was waited on by Morgan. Morgan, one of the many pleasant, nice people who make banking at First Community Credit Union such a pleasure. You know, that's one aspect of deciding to do your banking somewhere is, the people are nice. But you know what's actually probably as important, I think they're equal important, is how are the rates? You know, how competitive are they? Do I have to shop around all the time every time rates change? The answer is no. No, you don't. First rate checking is what they call this new checking account, and it pays 3.01%. I don't believe anybody else can touch it. Now, there are some things you need to know. Minimum balance, blah, blah, blah. That's all on their website. Or walk in, they'll explain it to you. But this is going to cause a lot of the bank people, and already has, I'm sure, to call meetings and get in a huddle. What do we got about this first rate checking, 3.01? What do we got? How do we compete with that? See, that's the thing. First, when you're big, and this is the largest credit union in the St. Louis area, when you're large and stable and secure, you can do things for your, not customers, but members. That's what we're called, members. We are members of First Community Credit Union. I'm a member. I do all my banking there. And I think that if you would consider changing where you do your banking, you'll be glad you did. It's not a big hassle or a big deal. It's really not. You go where you bank now, tell them goodbye, close out your accounts, and then move everything to another place. They'll try to stop you, not physically, but they'll act like they're so sorry and what did we do to lose your business? Oh, are you moving out of town? You don't have to explain anything to them. It would be nice, though, if you said, I'm going to First Community Credit Union because I'm AM and the PM. That'd be, we'd like that if you did that. So think about it. Business banking, personal banking. And don't get all caught up in, well, what's a credit union? What's the difference between the First Community Credit Union and a bank? Don't get hung up on that because there's so very little difference, but there's enough difference. I think you'll be glad you made the switch. Everything that you're doing at your bank now, you can do at First Community Credit Union. Home loan, car loan, credit card, debit card, all that stuff. And small business people, they love small business. They love to be your small business banking partner. Check into that. If you're not happy or you don't have a relationship with the bank, how are you going to ever expect to grow and become a bigger small business than you are now? You'll always be like real small and not bigger. First Community Credit Union, over 40 locations. Find out more at firstcommunity.com.
Let's get a check on traffic right now with Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Discover Student Loans. An accident Manchester near Baxter stall. Southbound 270 at Olive. They wrapped up the accident southbound 270 at Manchester. Solid jam westbound 370 into an accident 94. Overturned dump truck. Only the left lane open. Avoid the area. Incident eastbound 70 east of Mid Rivers and eastbound 64. You're heavy Jefferson into the Poplar Street Bridge. Figuring out how to cover college costs? Discover Student Loans, one of the top private student loan lenders in the country with great rates and zero fees. Plus, students earn a cash reward for good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. I'm Tory Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Has Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
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 No. No. No. No. No. No. Oh God, no. 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 No.
No. No. No. No. No. No.
Oh. Okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
So embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now featuring the Hamptons.
Cardinals host the Reds July 13th through the 15th, and there are great giveaways all weekend long. Friday night, it's the Cardinals cowboy hat presented by Brown and Crouppen. And Saturday, it's the Adam Wainwright bobblehead, courtesy of SSM Health, Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. Sunday is all about the family, when kids take home a hooded Cardinals towel, presented by the Pasta House. And adults will receive a unique baseball tote. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
Hey fans, Adam Wainwright here. On Saturday, July 14th, we face the Reds.
Swing and a home run. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. Oh, yeah.
That day, 30,000 fans ages 16 and older will have the chance to take home my bobblehead. This bobblehead will celebrate my Silver Slugger Award from last season. It's presented by SSM Health, Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. Join us on July 14th and get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions. There's only one Cardinals baseball.
He touches them all for the second time this year and the 10th time in his career.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
The PGA Championships are here in St. Louis, August 10th through the 12th. 590 The Fan and Michelob Ultra have teamed up for the official PGA Watch Party. All day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 10th through the 12th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Come out and enjoy the tournament on a 20-foot TV screen while enjoying all of your favorite Budweiser and Michelob Ultra products.
Not to mention all the great food that will be available.
Plus, on Friday, August 10th, all of your favorite 590 The Fan shows will be broadcasting live. Don't miss it.
I know who this is. It just completely escaped me.
Wait, you don't know who this
is? Starts with a K.
It's a state. Where you're
starts with what?
A K.
Kiss.
Your daughter.
Oh, Kansas.
Yeah, there you go. Well done.
No, not well done. Took me three tries to get it.
The philtrum is the thing that divides our nostrils.
That's it. Philtrum.
Yeah, someone called and said he teaches anatomy and said, do you want me to go on and teach you guys stuff? And I said, I got to get Bill Clevin on, but Bill's going to go in the playhouse.
So he could have come on and explained body parts.
We need this guy to call back immediately. I want to know the scientific name for the taint.
Well, I'm assuming the guy knows what you mean, but
hold on.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I need the scientific name.
You know, I don't know why I like this kind of stuff, but remember there's a name for that plastic piece on the end of your shoelace? It's called an eaglet or something? It's something
No, it is. It is. It's an eaglet.
Yeah.
That is what it's called.
But these are things we go through our whole lives, and we never ask what it's called. But everything has a name, and you just don't ever bother to go, hey, what do you call this thing on the end of my shoelace where it's encased in plastic? And it's like eaglet or
I think it is eaglet, I-G-L-E-T.
Yeah, I think we're close.
The medical part of Wikipedia says taint is a term used to refer to the perineum, which is the region of the human body between the genitalia and the anus.
Perineum.
Now, do you know why?
Bill.
Bill, the medical guy?
Anatomy guy, yeah.
I'll put him up here. Let's talk to him. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What other body parts can you help us learn the names of that we never think to ask about? What's the nose thing? The philium? What is it? Bill?
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Yeah. Limey didn't have you turned up. What's the name thing? Okay. Is it philium?
No, it's philtrum.
Philtrum, and that's philtrum. That skin between your two nostrils, okay?
It's actually that depression, and it actually means love potion or love charm, believe it or not.
What? Oh, well. All right.
Well, smell.
And then Limey was asking about, I guess, the spot between the anus and the genitalia. That's known as the perineum.
Yeah, Tim found that out. He looked that up. Perineum.
Perineum.
Yeah.
I got a perineum. Yeah.
And I guess everything needs a name. Otherwise, a doctor wouldn't know how to tell the surgical assistant
what to take out.
Yeah, or what to mark or whatever.
No one's going to pay you big money to say taintectomy, so you got to have a big name.
No, you got a good point there.
Wait a second, is that a thing?
Let me see if Limey knows the answer to this. Bill, hang on and stay with us. Limey, do you know why? Uh-huh. You know, like if you hit your elbow and there's that weird, they call it the funny bone. There's nothing funny about it. You don't laugh; it hurts.
I think.
Why do they call it that?
I think it's because there's a nerve cluster there.
The bone is called the humerus.
Oh.
Humerus like funny bone. That's the truth. And that's why it's called the funny bone. There's nothing funny. You don't laugh when you
know,
hit it.
I know. It just feels funny.
Okay. Is that
right? Okay, one other thing. That's actually the ulnar nerve. But that thing he was talking about, he made up some name called weenus or whatever.
Right.
That's
your elbow.
That's called the olecranal region. That skin's not dead. It just doesn't have good sensory input because we're leaning on it all the time and everything else. So,
what's it called?
It's not dead.
What's it called?
The body region is called the olecranon region.
Olecranon region.
I like weenus.
Yeah, I like weenus too. Olecranon, that's kind of cool.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Is that the deadest part of your body? Like if somebody said, I'm going to stick a needle in you and you can pick the spot. Would the elbow skin be where you feel the least?
No, it'd probably be the plantar surface of your foot, bottom of your foot.
Really?
What part of your foot is that?
The bottom, like the sole.
Oh, no, man. My soles and my feet are so sensitive.
Yeah, mine are very sensitive.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, you've got tons and tons of dead skin there. That's super thick compared to the back of your elbow.
Yeah, my feet, I'm embarrassed at how I can't walk. Grass hurts my feet. I'm not kidding. I've had grass hurt my feet.
Yeah. Well, that might be mental, too. You never know.
No, I'm guessing that's just webbing. Well, what's the, like, you know, the little bit of skin in between the fingers? Like, what is that?
It's not really called web. What's the medical name for that?
I don't know of an individual name for the region between the digits.
Mm. Wow.
Right. Well, you've been a big help, and you've helped us maintain our status as the greatest learning show ever on radio. Thank you, Bill.
No, have a good day, guys.
You too.
Thank you, sir.
Was he a doctor? Did we establish?
He teaches anatomy.
Ah, well, he knows some stuff. All right, folks. You know what to do?